This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us here on In Focus. I'm Roger Gray, and we're going to talk about water, probably as important as oil in the state of Texas right now. And with us is Joe Trotter from a group called Texans for Clean Water. And they have a unique, but not necessarily a new idea for how to deal with a lot of the waste we're dealing with, plastic waste particularly, in our water supply. Joe, good morning. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Tell me, first of all, explain the group Texans for Clean Water. Who are you guys and how did you come to be?
Texans for Clean Water is a group of concerned citizens. Our founder, Mike Garver, excellent guy. He moved down to Houston, moved on to Buffalo Bayou, and the way he put it is he was sitting on his back porch and saw more trash floating by than he saw water.
I'm from Houston. So, I'm very familiar with Buffalo Bayou. Yeah.
Well, he was saying, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. So he set out and has been an excellent community leader going ahead, and he helps basically run this boat that goes around sucking trash out of the water. It's a great operation, but they're pulling out a whole lot of trash, but it's barely enough to make a dent. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to change that. And one of the absolute biggest polluters out there is just litter from beverage containers, which is something that's entirely preventable. So Texans for Clean Water is looking to reduce the litter waste and the waterways.
Yeah, and make more of it usable because, as I mentioned, a couple of years ago, I did a series on television on the water shortage in Texas. Water's precious enough as it is. We shouldn't be polluting it.
We shouldn't be polluting it. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of usable stuff that's winding up in the streams. And instead of winding up in the actual streams, could be winding up back in the streams of commerce.
Well, goodness knows we've had all sorts of programs to get people to try to use reusable bottles for their water, et cetera, et cetera. I'm terribly afraid that's not making much of a dent. We're still buying a lot of these things. What are the figures?
It's a lot. We're talking in the billions of containers. And look, I'm somebody who uses a reusable water bottle. But at the same time, when you're out and about and on the road, you're occasionally, you know, you want to buy a soda. You want to buy some bottled water. It's kind of an inevitable reality that this is necessary. And we at Texans for Clean Water have no problem with people actually going and buying these non-reusable things. It's just a lot of this stuff is reusable and recyclable in some way. And when you look at, say, like aluminum, for example, aluminum prices have skyrocketed over the last several years.
Well, and they're going to get more so with the new tariff regime, yeah?
Exactly. And so this is kind of a perfect opportunity. So Texas has, it doesn't have necessarily the highest aluminum disposal rate in the nation, but it does carry the distinction of having the most cans wind up in landfills. Mm. And all of that is stuff that can be reused, whether it's for other bottles or, you know, even when it comes to infrastructure projects here. Most people don't realize that the cores of today's modern electrical power lines are actually made with aluminum. So there's a lot of uses here, and we'd like to see it again wind up in the streams of commerce.
Indeed. Well, let me go ahead and use some of the figures I got off your website. Plastic water sales have skyrocketed over the last 25 years. PET, which is that special plastic, those account for about 98%. Plastic water bottle sales increased 2,767%, 3 billion units from 97 to 21. That's a 25-fold increase. And of 86 billion plastic water bottles sold in 2021, anyway, only 25 out of the 86 billion plastic water bottles were recycled. 71% were wasted. And as you said, that's a figure you guys would like to turn around.
Yeah, and frankly, that figure is concerning a little crazy to us because, recycled materials have such a high demand that Texas is actually importing plastic waste, or what would be waste, from overseas into Texas in order to make up for the fact that Texas isn't collecting enough of its own plastics and aluminum and glass. So, yeah, I mean, we're importing essentially trash from China, Mexico, Malaysia, and, you know, it's all right here. It's either winding up in landfills or eventually streams in the Gulf. So Texas can be the solution to this issue, and it'll create jobs. It'll just essentially create this better opportunity for a domestic supply chain.
Well, and quite frankly, if I can venture an opinion here, that's nuts to import plastic when so much of it is simply thrown away. And we're spending a lot of money on that. 9 Texas cities, you guys say, Laredo to Lufkin, spend tax dollars in excess of $50 million on litter and illegal dumping every year.
It's absolutely wild. And, you know, all this stuff that it's coming out of local governments, concerned people. And this is something that is a real economic opportunity for the state of Texas. And it's a good chance to go ahead and unburden cities to focus on things that they, you know, would better the lives of others.
Mm-hmm. And there would be an economic benefit in every sense of the word. You wouldn't have to pick up as much litter, and you wouldn't have to import plastic. It's a win-win.
It absolutely is.
So what's the plan? The plan, from what I'm reading anyway, looks suspiciously like the world I grew up in. I'm a man of a certain age, and when I was a kid, you took your Coke bottles, your milk bottles back to the store, and they gave you a little deposit back.
That's exactly what the plan is. Now, we have gone ahead, taken a look at other bottle bill states and updated the language and really tried to make sure that this is a business-led solution and not necessarily a government-led solution that, you know, make sure that this works. You have other states like, say, California or even New York. They have, you know, just the hands of government over all of this. The bill that we're advancing is very different in the sense that it allows the producers to go ahead, form a nonprofit corporation that goes ahead and self-regulates here. So the money's not winding up in the hands of government. It's not being distributed. It's entirely a business-led solution here. And it's an update that is great because the producers are the ones who use this recycled content. So they have a vested interest in making it work. You know, not just it gets passed and then September 1st, there's some sort of sudden mandate. It's an opportunity for these businesses to come together and figure out exactly what they want to do here. So it's kind of a distinctly Texan solution to it.
And we're talking about, and I have to say, we are recording this a weekend or so ahead of time. This may be resolved in the legislature. They only have a couple of weeks left. You guys have bills in both the House and the Senate.
We do, and we're actually very excited. Today is, unfortunately, a bit of a deadline in the House, but we are scheduled for, and God willing it happens before midnight tonight, we are scheduled for a floor vote. So we are very excited here.
Well, and here's hoping, because as you say, this is, and it ought to be very appealing to actually both Republicans and Democrats, because it's a fair market solution. It's a business solution to a problem that is costing businesses and cities lots of money.
It is. And the interesting thing, the very downstream effect, that, and it's one of the things I'm most excited about, is that by going ahead and ensuring that this material stays in circulation, the ultimate hope from an economic perspective is you're going to have a more readily available supply. Hopefully, the idea is to essentially make goods cheaper. Now, one of the things that we haven't talked about as much, but is very interesting, is glass. And glass is a Recycling glass is a little bit difficult because it has to be the same color, grade, no contamination.
Mm-hmm.
But recycled glass is actually what essentially powers the home insulation industry and just the insulation industry in general. So they take this glass, and as it turns out, recycled glass is much easier to reuse for turning into insulation. It's the kind of thing that could, you know, even have some impact on, you know, home building costs.
Well, which again are going to be impacted by the new tariff regime. So, again, a win-win. Let's look at the benefits that I pulled off your website here. You say a cash rebate for everyone who participates. That's extra money for kids.
Mm-hmm.
People without homes, anyone who helps clean up Texas, just you get a few cents back on everyone.
Yeah, and so it's essentially paying for results here. It's not some flat government tax or fee for moving waste. It's ensuring that there's an economic value applied to each individual container, and essentially whoever turns it in gets the money. It's truly kind of a bounty system here.
Have you guys come up with figures? What kind of little rebates we'd be looking at?
Well, so that's one of the interesting things. We're leaving it up to this bill leaves it up to the nonprofit filled with the industry folks. But if you take a look in other states and other countries, you have places, Oregon, for example, has one of the highest recycling rates in the nation. They've occasionally reached about, I think it's around 86% recycling rate, which is awesome. But the way this whole program pays for itself is that if folks don't recycle, because no system is going to be perfect,
right,
the money that is not reclaimed actually funds the infrastructure upgrades and the operations of all this. So it's the kind of thing where you don't expect more government money to go into it because there's a built-in funding mechanism here.
Well, and it's free, as you point out. Again, there's no mandate, there's no rule, there's no law that says you have to turn it in. But why wouldn't you? You're leaving money on the table.
Exactly. You're leaving money on the table. And, you know, if you don't, somebody will. And it's interesting going to states and countries that have this program, and a lot of the developed world has programs like this. You don't see the waste out there. I was in Germany just kind of for an experiment. I would go around and I'd take my empty bottle and I'd put it down and I'd see how long it would take to just disappear. And the record was 11 seconds.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I've journalistically been to Germany actually three times, covering the fall of the wall and reunification and all that. I did not realize they had a big recycling program. Of course, that was years ago.
They do. And their program has, I think it's about a 97% recycling rate. It's incredibly popular and it works incredibly well. Think back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was in New York. They had a program. You basically had to turn in each individual can or bottle separately. That's not the case anymore. The technology has come a long way. They call them reverse vending machines, where you basically throw everything into a crate, stick it into a machine, and it, you know, pops out with the money you should be getting back. And you can actually, in these programs, and they do this in other states, directly transfer that money to a child's 529 account or have it go directly to a charitable contribution. It's really cool what they're doing with it.
That sounds like actually one of the coin change machines you find in the grocery store.
Basically,
you dump in all your pennies, they give you a receipt, and you go get the cash for it.
Exactly.
That's, frankly, a simple genius. It's also, as you say, it's consumer free choice. It's up to you, which, again, ought to be very appealing in a state like Texas.
Yeah, it's up to you whether you want to participate. And again, up in New York, we didn't want to participate in it, there were folks coming by and we'd hand it off to them and they'd do it. It enables people to have more jobs and have different sources of income. And it's not meant to replace like a traditional curbside recycling.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take your beverage containers, put it in there, Then the recycling company turns around, processes them through, and it funds their operation.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea here is basically to spread the benefits around as much as possible.
Now, there have been some negatives recently concerning recycling. Reports that, for example, the very thin grocery bags that we take back to Walmart or Kroger or whoever and put in the recycling trolley, that not as many of them get recycled as we were told. Are we able to recycle all this stuff?
We are. Now, the problem there was contamination, and contamination is a huge thing no matter what you're recycling.
Okay.
If it's dirty, unable to get out, what was in there, that would go ahead and foul up the system. And this doesn't specifically address things like plastic bags, but if, say, you know, a plastic bag gets filled with dirty water or something after sitting in the back of a truck, mm-hmm. yeah, that's going to be a problem. So plastic bags use something called chemical recycling, and it is a incredibly cool technology. It basically, you throw the bag in a solution, warm it up, and it essentially turns it back into some sort of fossil fuel. I mean, it can be turned to gasoline, diesel, or it can be rebuilt as another plastic product. It's you know, actually kind of an old process, but it's come back into vogue, and for good reason. We like the folks. This bill doesn't hit on that, but we really like the folks who do the chemical recycling as well. It's really cool stuff.
Well, there's petroleum involved in making the plastic to begin with, so you're simply reversing the process, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Huh.
But at that point, a little bit of contamination here can go ahead and mess up the solution. So
yeah.
Some things aren't recyclable.
I understand. There is a jobs aspect to this, you guys say. What kind of job creation would be involved with this?
Well, so when we were talking earlier about the reverse vending machines, so this bill doesn't create a mandate saying, hey, the store that you bought it from has to take it back. What it does say is that you're allowed to, again, if you want to, entirely voluntary, rent out space for, and it usually takes a car space or two for these reverse vending machines, put in the back parking lot. You'd have the people maintaining it, moving it. Actually just administering it. You'd have the folks, again, like the story in New York, who go around and inform their own business of finding these cans and making sure they get back. Then, I mean, right now it's, you know, I think it's less than 50% of the plastic being recycled from overseas. You'd have people handling that at every single part of the juncture all the way back until it's a new product. There's just a lot of workforce development that's possible here.
Well, and you actually calculated some figures here. You say a national beverage container deposit system with a 10-cent deposit would support more than 112,000 full-time jobs.
It would. I mean, It's very much, we see it as just an extension of the oil and gas industries.
Mm-hmm.
The plastics that are here on the surface of the planet are, it's just a developed fossil fuel. This
right.
is an extension of that and making sure that it remains viable.
Well, as I said, you use fossil fuel to make them, and you're using fossil fuel, you know, getting fossil fuel back out of them. And somebody is going to have to be involved in that, and that's a job.
Yep.
We use a lot of this stuff. Again, folks, if you go to Texans for Clean Water website, you will find all the stats on this. For example, per capita, meaning each one of us, we use an average of 899 beverage containers annually. I poured myself some orange juice for my trip into work today. Big old container of milk, you name it, you know, Cokes and sodas and that sort of thing, water, you name it. We use a lot of this stuff, and 34% are recycled, 66% wasted. And that just seems crazy.
Especially when it can be reused, and there's so much economic value tied up in it. Look, I'm all for extracting economic value from under the earth, but once it's up here, I prefer to keep it up here.
That's a good way to look at it. Also, You say, you point out, at least on the website, the energy that is required to replace the wasted containers is huge.
It is. And this is one of the interesting things. We've got, you know, a lot of folks in industry are really excited about this. And it's not like the energy costs them money as well. So when you take a look at, again, going back to the fiberglass example, if there's even, you know, a 5% decrease in the amount of energy that they need in order to go ahead and recycle the glass into something that winds up long term in people's walls, mm-hmm. just protecting them from the whims of Mother Nature, well, that's a very, very multi-billion dollar industry right
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And their main cost in terms of inputs is energy. So it does save them money. If even 5% of that goes down, that's saving hundreds of millions of dollars that then gets passed on to the consumer.
Well, and you point out the energy that is required to replace the wasted container, the wasted bottles, is enough to power 3.4 million U.S. households.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's very crazy. And for those that are worried about it, I'm one of them, a total of 15 million metric tons of CO2 emitted each year in the U.S. to replace wasted beverage containers. And again, that just seems nuts.
Again, I'd rather have the fossil fuel wind up in a plastic than necessarily being emitted just making it. It's interesting. So the kind of recycling that's used here, unlike we talked about chemical recycling,
mm-hmm.
the vast majority of it is mechanical. So there is, you know, shredding it, melting it down. There is energy used for it, which is great. But, you know, this is just, again, an opportunity to be a cost-saving measure, which, as we look at this, the global instability kind of all over the world, helps the domestic supply chain.
Indeed it does. And by the way, just one last figure on the energy required to replace all of these bottles. That equates to the annual emissions, the CO2, I should say, the annual emissions of 3.3 million cars. So if we're worried about pollution, if we're not just the bottles in our streams and lakes, but also what's in the air, this again is a win-win.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's kind of a win all around. And frankly, I love working on this topic because it seems like such common sense to do it. But the question there is also whether there is the will to do it. And we are so happy with our friends in the Texas House of Representatives right now for going ahead and advancing this as far as scheduling us for a floor vote.
Well, that was where I wanted to go next. Yeah, what kind of reception have you gotten from the legislators?
I've been working in politics a long time, and I have got to say that this is one of the better receptions I've ever seen to a relatively new introduced concept. It's just, like I said, it feels like it's such common sense. There's so many winners here that it's just been great seeing all sorts of co-sponsors join the bill, co-authors, and seeing it move through the process.
And I'm guessing, at least I'm hoping anyway, that the reception you've gotten is reasonably bipartisan.
It has been. And that's one of the great things here. You know, sometimes in the political discourse, we forget that when it comes to the really big stuff, making sure that things are affordable, available, and reliable, that, you know, everyone is on the same team in terms of that end result. The question is usually how to get there. And so we're so happy to see Texas make a Texas solution to this issue. It benefits the economy, and kind of the side effect is it helps clean up the environment.
Indeed. Something that everybody in Texas ought to care about. Have you gotten much in the way of pushback on this? How about from the private sector? How about from the industries that would be involved and affected by this?
We have gotten a little bit of pushback. I'm not going to name names. Some industries have, or some parts of industries have basically said, well, this isn't business as normal, so we don't want it. But what's just absolutely wild is the number of industry partners that we have that are so in support of this. You have the PET, the plastics industry, has endorsed it. A number of the major glass producers and glass recyclers have endorsed it. You've got, you know, everyone from just the simply environmentally focused, the aluminum industry, the can manufacturers. It's, I mean, we have a little sheet with everyone who's endorsed it, and frankly, we might have to flip to the other side.
Okay. Well, that's a good problem to have. 10 states have done this. How's it working out?
It's working out very well. Now, if you take a look, I'm going to keep bringing up Oregon because they tend to be at the bleeding edge of making it easier and easier.
Yeah. Of course, Oregon is the un-Texas, but other than that.
It is the un-Texas, yeah. But the really interesting thing there is Oregon wasn't always the un-Texas. When this program first got started, it was a Republican supermajority.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing, you know, between a 65% and 86% recycling rate there. And when you travel those states, again, you're just not seeing the bottles and cans and litter that plague states such as Texas. And it's working out well. And I mean, again, we think that there's a better way to do it than some of these more liberal, more government nanny states. But that's what we're trying in Texas right now.
Well, and if you can, it seems to me, and I'm sorry there is some pushback from some industries. I have to think they're just not, you know, seeing beyond the horizon here. But when you present this as something, I'm surprised there's any pushback, is I guess what I'm getting at. Because as we've said, as I have said so many times through this, this is really just a win-win. And it's going back to a concept. You didn't reinvent the wheel. We used to do this.
Yes. And that's what's crazy to me. It's like what's old is new again. This is, I wasn't quite at the generation where this was super common, but you know, paying a small deposit and turn it back in, getting it back has mm-hmm. kind of been, it was a much larger thing back in the day. And one of the things that sort of prevented this from happening basically since then is when it comes to things like essentially corporations working together towards a common goal, in this case, recycling and making sure that waste doesn't wind up in the environment, there have been an increase in limits on how corporations can work together. And they're understandable in the sense that they're antitrust laws and making sure that there's no price fixing. Entirely understandable for the most part. But the end result has been is it's also prevented them from working together unless there's a carve-out. So what this bill does is create a carve-out to deal with this one very specific thing, with oversight, of course, and work together on that front. So it's also getting the government out of the way of private industry to solve an environmental problem.
How often do you hear those words all strung together? I'll be honest with you, Joe.
Not a whole heck of a lot.
No, you don't.
A lot of my career has been looking around trying to search out folks who are doing just that.
Well, okay, something Greens and Oil Guys can get together on here. Texans for Clean Water, I have to recommend you go to their website. It is a brilliantly simple idea, and one that we have seen work before, and there's no reason it couldn't work again. Joe Trotter, thank you so much. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for having me on. It was great chatting.
Okay. And thank you for joining us for In Focus this weekend. We'll make this program available on our website after it airs, and we hope to see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.